Hi there, this is Michael Lowry, pastor of East Congregational United Church of Christ in Concord, New Hampshire, and this is the Love to Tell the Story podcast. With so many opportunities before us and so many big choices to be made in this life, most especially when it comes to living out our Christian faith, more often than not, the main question becomes, what's your priority? Continuing our sermon series about Lenten renovations, here's today's message. It's based on 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 25, and Psalm 19. She was 16 years old. She was part of our church's youth group at the time, and one of my confirmation kids from the year before that. And she had really stood out in that particular class, not simply for the level of her participation or the sheer number of deep questions she asked over the course of that process, but also she stood out for the ways in which her faith exploration seemed to be spilling over into the rest of her life. This girl was bright and funny, outgoing, and genuinely appeared to be following some sort of spiritual pathway in her life. And one day she actually came to my office to let me know that she had decided that she wanted to be a minister. Specifically, she wanted to be a church pastor. See, at this point, she'd been thinking about college. And she was wondering, as high school students are wont to do, wondering what course of study she might consider in college, especially if she was going to go on to seminary after that. And we talked a lot about that, several times, in fact, over the next few months. That is, until one day, when I asked her how her college search was going, she answered me, about that. And she then informed me that she had decided against going into the ministry. Now, understand, this wasn't terribly surprising to me. I mean, where vocational pathways are concerned, people, kids especially, they change their minds all the time. And besides, a call to pastoral ministry is not something to be pursued casually or taken lightly, but with all due conviction. So better to know this feeling up front. But I was curious, and I asked her why she'd reconsidered. And to this she replied, well, I did some research, and it turns out that church pastors don't make a lot of money. And then this was without even a hint of irony or sarcasm in her voice, she added, and it's very important to me that whatever I end up doing in life, that I do well and that I make a lot of money. Well, as I recall, I said something to her to the effect that while I completely understood her concern, and yes, that she should move into the future in a way that's fiscally and financially responsible, in whatever she chooses to do in life, she should also remember that money buys neither happiness nor vocational fulfillment. And by the way, kid, it's not like pastors still get paid in vegetables and poultry. But, you know, it didn't matter. Bottom line was that for this young woman at that point in her life, it was a matter of priorities. And the allure of potential wealth and the stuff out there in the world, it was just too great for her to leave behind, no matter what the reason. Hey, no judgment here. Truthfully, like most of us in this room, I suspect I can sympathize with her decision. And besides, I was and am absolutely sure that this wasn't the first, nor would it be the last time that she would be faced with some kind of choice as to her set of priorities in life. Because after all, isn't that pretty much what the whole of life entails? Seems to me that every stage of life is filled up with a real life version of the would you rather game. You know, would you rather go to college after high school or enter the job market? Would you rather get married or stay single? Would you rather own a house or rent an apartment? Would you rather live in the city or move to the country? Would you rather struggle to make ends meet and work at a job you really love, or to be rich and work at a job you hate? And on it goes. Choice after choice after choice, one decision after another. Some of them seemingly inconsequential, others that feel huge, at least at the time. But all of them, in one way or another, setting some sort of priority for your life and living. Now, that's not to say that the priorities of which we speak don't shift over time and circumstance. Most certainly, and I'm guessing you'll all agree with me here, some of our priorities as what we had when we were in our 20s are way different than the priorities we set for ourselves now that we are, shall we say, middle to senior aged adults. Or else, for better or for worse, those priorities are going to come into clearer focus as the realities of actually living unto them set in. Either way, though, the priorities that we set for ourselves will end up revealing much about who we truly are and that which truly moves us in life. In that regard, I think it can be said that in many ways, faith itself is a matter of priorities, right? Holy Scripture is in fact filled with example after example of how, when it comes to maintaining a relationship with God, choices have to be made. I have set before you life and death, blessing and curses. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live. That's what God said to his people Israel as they were making their way through the wilderness. Or consider the call to repentance that began our Lenten journey to the cross on Ash Wednesday. Yet even now, says the Lord, return to me with all your heart. Choose to come back to me. And of course, Jesus himself was the master of challenging our priorities as regards faith. We actually heard this last Sunday, you'll remember, in Jesus' teaching about taking up our own crosses. Those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will save it. See, a choice, a priority being set. Or, for that matter, consider the choice that he gave to that so-called rich young ruler. You remember that story. He told this rich young ruler to sell what he owned, to give the money to the poor and follow him, which, as you'll recall, the rich young ruler couldn't do because, come to find out, his priorities all lay in his many possessions. It is one of the only, if not the only, instance in the Gospels where someone turned down Jesus' call to follow him because his priority was different. Now, all of this to say that, as in so many other things in life, but also so much more than anything else in life, when it comes to our spiritual walk, there is utmost importance in getting our priorities straight. And as our text for this morning makes very, very clear, it is a choice between foolishness on the one hand and wisdom on the other. Though, as it turns out, not in the way we're expecting. In that text for this morning, you see the one that Deb shared with us. The Apostle Paul is writing to a very divided church in the city of Corinth, all about this manner of foolishness and wisdom. Now, ostensibly, it had to do with differing views amongst these Corinthians regarding what leader of their new church was the most eloquent. Was it Paul himself on the one hand, or Apollos who on the other? Now, apparently, this so-called quarrel amongst them had all taken on the look and feel of a very contentious political campaign. But the thing is that Paul wasn't having any of it. Rather, Paul, in this letter, was focused on reminding them that the real choice at hand was not whether it was him or Apollos. It had to do with wisdom, true wisdom, the wisdom that comes from God, the wisdom of God who promised that he would thwart the wisdom of the wise, that he would thwart, I love that word, thwart, the discernment of the discerning. And has done so already, and in the cross of Jesus Christ. A message that is utter foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, Paul said, it is the power of God. And therein, friends, lies the choice, doesn't it? Both for the Corinthians and for us as well. On the one hand, either the faltering wisdom of the world as we know it, or on the other, the so-called foolishness of God in Christ Jesus. In the words of the Right Reverend Brian Cole of the Episcopal Church in Tennessee, he says, God, through Jesus Christ, offers us another kind of wisdom. The wisdom that is deep and true. The wisdom that is not concerned with appearance or association. Not focused wholly on pointing to self or to humiliating others while pointing to yourself. In other words, what is being talked about here is a complete and radical shift of priorities in which our very lives are reordered in such a way that we will be seeking after God's foolishness and God's weakness. For there is where we're going to find wisdom. It's there where we're going to find redemption. And it's there that we will discover not only the full purpose of our lives, but also in that discovery that we become fully alive. Now, as you know, this whole sermon series has to do with our own spiritual renovation, yours and mine. So given all of this that Paul sets before us here, I guess the question that we should be asking ourselves today is, what's our priority? What is it that you and I choose as what the great 20th century theologian Paul Tillich referred to as our ultimate concern in life? What's our priority? Is it wrapped up in the literal deluge of present-day worldly matters? Is it money? Maybe politics? Or maybe it's any number of creature comforts that I could name? Or is it something else? Something else that's akin to the power of God, the wisdom of God, the salvation of God, touching and moving and shaping our lives in ways that we can't even begin to wholly imagine. In the wonderful words of author and pastor Scott Hosey, it's righteousness, holiness, redemption, and it's all ours because by faith and through grace, we have been given the eyes to see deeper into the structure of things than what appears in the news headlines of the day, or than what gets the TV's spotlight, than what passes as today's latest, greatest set of tips for successful living. Hosey goes on to say that we see down to what C.S. Lewis called the deep magic of the universe and its awe-inspiring, jaw-dropping reversal of all things that we thought we knew. Or, as Paul himself said to those divided Corinthians, "For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength." It's all right there before us, you see. But ultimately, and here's the point, we're the ones who have to make that choice between worldly wisdom or divine foolishness. As I said before, it's a matter of priorities. As you might imagine, I am a big fan of church newsletters. I actually enjoy seeking out on the internet and reading these mostly online publications that come from churches large and small from all over the country and across the denominational spectrum. I guess, you know, when it comes down to it, I just kind of want to see how the other half lives, you know? But a couple of months ago, in one of these church newsletters, I came across something that I have been thinking about ever since. The pastor of this particular church had written a piece about the differences between liking and loving the church, the gist of which was to encourage members to a deeper and more loving devotion, involvement, and commitment to their church, as opposed to being someone who simply likes their church, where at the same time kind of standing off on the sidelines of its fellowship and its ministry and its service. Like I said, I really enjoyed the piece. And it got me to thinking about its implications and how really the very same thing that the pastor said could be applied to, in general, about our faith and our walk with Jesus Christ. To wit, I have a question for you today. Can it be said that we truly love Jesus, or do we merely like him? I mean, you know, don't get me wrong. It's all very well and good to like Jesus. Plenty of people like Jesus. Over the years as a pastor, I've had many conversations with folks, both the unchurch, as they're often referred to, and with longtime church members. And these are people who are very quick to point out to me that they admire and they appreciate Jesus' teachings and his love. But then they'll go on to wonder aloud about Jesus' relevance for today's world or about Jesus' place in their own lives. Again, no judgment, friends, here, because it's clear when in these conversations that these are folks who like Jesus. They like him, all right. But the thing is, to love Jesus, well, that's something entirely different, isn't it? To love Jesus, you see, means focusing our eyes, but more importantly, our hearts upon him. To love Jesus is to embrace God's power that is manifest in him. To love Jesus means to make Jesus our first priority in life and living. Because you see, when Jesus is our first priority, we find we can embrace the very power and wisdom of God in and through all things. I think that's why I wanted to include the 19th Psalm as part of our reading for this morning. Not only is it a beautiful evocation in those opening verses of how the heavens are telling the glory of God and how the firmament proclaims his handiwork. I mean, immediately that paints a picture of me of a beautiful sunrise or sunset, the canopy of stars on a summer night and so on. That is the glory of God and the heavens tell it. So first of all, that's great in that psalm. But there's also this verse later on that proclaims that the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. And finally, that the precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Oh, I love that, because truth be told, there is so much in this world that would distract us from that, isn't there? There are so many other things that clamor to take priority in our lives. But ultimately, it's God, by the power of Christ crucified and risen, who makes that life full and purposeful and worth the living. It's God who revives the soul. It is God that makes us wise. It's God that moves our hearts to rejoice. And he does it to fullness in the person of Jesus. This is the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is the center of our faith in a nutshell. And today, beloved, I hope and pray that whatever our renovations happen to be in this and every season, that it will lead us to embracing that gospel as a first priority. So as the psalmist sang at the end of that psalm, and as you hear in a prayer almost weekly, let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. May that be our prayer as we come to the Lord's table this morning. And may our thanks be to God. Amen and amen.
And that's the message entitled, What's Your Priority? Part of our current sermon series called Lenten Renovations. This message was recorded during our March the 3rd service of worship at East Congregational Church, where we would love to have you join us in person for worship all throughout this Lenten season and always. We come together every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock at the church on 51 Mountain Road, just off exit 16 of I-93 in beautiful Concord, New Hampshire. I would love the chance to welcome you to our worship, and I know you'll be glad you came. But for now, that's it for this episode of the Love to Tell the Story podcast. As always, I thank you for listening today. And until next time, may God bless you with a great day every day. We'll talk to you soon.